Let's read verse 17 through 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would open our minds and give us the strength to live this new person, this new self, this new man, this new life that you have called us to. Father, we confess that oftentimes we put on the garments of our old life, and we really should take them off permanently and completely and live in light of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Live in light of his ultimate return. And Father, help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the business world, it's not a good idea to burn your bridges, is it? I've seen people burn their bridges, walk out in a huff, never to return, and then the moment they walk out, realize, maybe I could have done that a little bit better. They burn their bridges. It's not a good idea in our world to burn your bridges. But in the Christian life, it's absolutely essential. We don't burn our bridges of relationships with people. We burn our bridges of our old life. Seeing that we have been changed and been brought into a new life, it's time to let the old life go. It's been told that Alexander the Great, when he and his army were just marching all over that Persian Empire and all the and east and around the Mediterranean, when they hit the shores of Persia, the story goes that Alexander the Great had his boats burned so that his men would march forward instead of retreating backward. And that's what we need to do in the Christian life. We need to burn our bridges. We need to burn our boats. We need to burn the remnants of the old life and never go back there again and march forward into the new life. Well, at this point in our study in Ephesians, we're really trying to understand how to live out God's cosmic universal purpose in the here and now. And we'll keep going back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, which gives us sort of the thesis statement for this whole book, where Paul tells the Ephesian Christians, and certainly telling us, that God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And so far in chapter 4, we saw that our unity with Christ in his body is going to be seen in the way our walk in life, our lifestyle, our way of life, how that balances out with our call. Our call to salvation in Christ and our call to be on a mission and our call to have an ultimate destiny, to be with Christ. We've also seen that our unity with Christ is displayed in our own spiritual transformation. How we are aligned with Christ, not only individually following Christ's example and being equipped by the servant leaders that God calls to oversee his church, but also as we align with Christ corporately, as we grow into maturity in community, so that the whole body grows together into Christ. And today we're going to be looking at being united with Christ, not just in the church, but now stepping out into society. So you see, they overlap. These are not separate and distinct areas of our life, because every area of our life overlaps in some way. You might be sitting here in the body of Christ texting someone in your social life, right? Or you might be thinking about something you have to do at work tomorrow. The areas of our life intersect. They're not separate and distinct. So as we live in the body of Christ, we're also recognizing that our life in the body feeds out into our social life and our family life and our work life and certainly our spiritual life. And since we're all immersed in our own culture, and of course that's not all bad, it is hard not to be influenced by our culture in bad ways. And as our society becomes more and more secular, there's a sharper line that we need to draw in unity with Christ rather than risking becoming one with our secular age. And that seems to be the issue Paul is addressing here to these Ephesian Christians in these 8 verses. Paul wanted them to cast off their old life. Many of them came out of paganism. In fact, most of them had family members who were not believers at all. And it's very easy to be sucked back into that world that we've been called out of. As we go back home day after day and go to the same workplace and spend time with the same friends, some of whom are Christians, some of whom are not. It's very easy to be drawn back to that old life, that old world. And the Apostle Paul wants us to make a sharp line by casting off the old life and fully immersing ourselves in a new life. Now, does that mean we have to wear a certain kind of uniform? Does it mean that we have to segregate ourselves like some bizarre sect of a cult or some aspect of Christian history that kind of just went off the deep end in some strange direction? No. It doesn't mean we need to divorce ourselves from worldly engagement either. In fact, later on in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us a mission to walk as children of light in this dark world. So casting off the old life doesn't mean we're divorcing ourselves from the people in the old life and divorcing ourselves from the structures of the old life. It's simply taking off an old garment and putting on a new garment, a garment that identifies with Jesus Christ and shows everyone else that we're playing for a new team. So let's look at it. To unite with God's cosmic plan in life, I think Paul's telling us that we should do 2 things. The first thing that I think we see here is that we should renounce the person we were. To renounce that person that you were. You were a person living in a certain world. And it's time to renounce that person and say, that person is dead and gone. I am a new creation. That's not me anymore. And it's time to renounce that person you were. Paul says in verse 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord." He's drawing a line in the sand. That word testify is a Greek word that is akin to the word marturion, which means witness, or where we get our word martyr. Paul is making a stand. He's making a statement. He's testifying in the Lord that he has already done this. And you see it in the book of Acts, how immediately Paul takes a stand as a Christian, even in Damascus, after having been blind for 3 days, and that blindness is now taken away. He can now see. He immediately goes out and starts preaching Christ. And what does he do? He gets into trouble. Well, Paul testifies. He witnesses. He acts the part of a martyr in the Lord by telling the Ephesians that they should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. He's taking a stand. He's making a confession. And he's not afraid or he's not ashamed to make this very clear demand. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You see, these Ephesians were Gentiles. They were not of Jewish lineage. They were Gentile Christians. But there was a life and there was a lifestyle that they had to pull out of in order to identify not as Jews, but to identify as Christ followers, as Christians. And they're playing for a new team, and it's the body of Christ, and they cannot go back to identifying with the unregenerate Gentiles. Look at how Paul describes the Gentiles. These are unbelievers. These are people who have not embraced Christ, people who are antagonistic to the faith in Christ. He says they walk in the futility of their minds. They're absorbed in worldly and worthless pursuits, things that just don't amount to anything. They'll spend their time on anything and everything, but in the end, it's just worthless pursuits. It's futile. It's futile, and it's the futility of their mind. And he says they're darkened in their understanding. They're blind to spiritual truth. He says they're alienated from the life of God. They're in a continual state of moral and spiritual decay. Imagine yourself going home and unplugging your refrigerator. How long is your food going to stay good? It's going to spoil very quickly. Right after Ruth Ann and I moved into our house about 3 years ago, we had not realized how the outlets were connected to one another. We had a little chest freezer in the basement, and it was hooked to an outlet in the basement. And we didn't realize that a GFI outlet had tripped in the garage, and that was connected to the basement outlet. And for about 2 weeks, that was tripped. And one day, we went down and opened the refrigerator, and phew, the smell just came out. All this food was gone. Why? Because it was not connected to the source of electricity that would keep the chest freezer cold. That's the way it is in a life that is alienated from the life of God. It's just a life of decay. It's a life that doesn't last. Worthless pursuits that don't amount to anything, that have no eternal value. And they just get more and more and more smelly. This is the way the Gentiles were, the pagans, those who did not know Jesus. And Paul says, don't go back to that life. He says they're filled with ignorance. We get that word agnostic from this word, agnoia. They're ignorant of God. They just don't know. They're incapable of reconciling spiritual truth with intellectual reason. Does it mean they're stupid? No way. Sometimes we Christians get on our high horse and we make it sound as if non-Christians are somehow stupid for what they do. No, that's not true at all. Very smart, very intelligent, and yet in the spiritual world, incapable of making a connection between spiritual truth and intellectual reason. That's the way these Gentiles were. But he says they're hard-hearted, they're callous, they're insensitive and numb to the meaning of life in God. He says they're given over to sensuality and immorality. He says this generation of Gentiles that these Ephesians were interacting with, they're marked by inability and insensitivity. And we live in that world too, don't we? With all of our technological advances, with all of our achievements and our abilities to manage health and to manage pain and to communicate in a variety of ways. We just don't get it. Because our generation, too, is marked by inability and insensitivity. Inability to see spiritual truth and insensitivity to the meaning of life in God. Paul says, that's the person you were, Ephesians. And don't go back there. Renounce that way of life. Think about the drug addict. They start with a little bit of alcohol, and then they move on perhaps to marijuana. And then they get to harder and harder drugs. And the more they go into drug abuse and the harder drugs that they use, they get more and more numb, more and more insensitive. And then by the grace of God, they're miraculously saved. Why would they ever want to go back to that old life? And yet, what happens oftentimes? They oftentimes do, don't they? That's the way it is with us as Christians. We know we've been miraculously saved. We sing the songs, we give the testimonies, and yet how easy is it for us to just slip back into the old way of life? And the more we go back, the more insensitive we get to God's leading. And some of you may be saying, well, you know, I grew up as a Christian. I don't ever know a life of darkness. I don't ever remember living a life of paganism and spiritual insensitivity. Well, you can think. You can reason. Think about what your life would be today without Christ. Think about what your life would be today if you had never come to know Jesus Christ, if you had never been born into that Christian family. What would your life be like today? And think about the times you do slip back to those times. What about our younger generations who are brought up in the church and yet they see this world and they begin believing what's on the outside rather than what's on the inside? And even though they're brought up in the church, not knowing that old world that the Ephesian Christians knew, getting curious and stepping out into that world, finding themselves trapped. See, it's very easy to slip back into that old world. Don't go back to that place because it leads to a loss of moral integrity and it leads to insensitivity to spiritual truth. Look with me at verse 20 of chapter 4. Paul says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Not from me, Paul says. You didn't learn that from me. And that is not you, the way you experienced Christ for the first time. You experienced Christ by being drawn out of that, not by going back to it. And Paul's very direct, very to the point here. He says you didn't get to Christ by going down the road of sensuality and impurity. That's what you're saved from. He says, renounce that person you used to be, because that's not the person you are. He says a second thing. Renounce the person you were, but become the person you are. Become the person you are. Look at verse 21 with me. He says this, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul wants you to become the person you are. God took you out of an old life. He doesn't want you to go back there, but now you are in a new life. There is a new position you are in. This is now who you are. You are in Christ. You are a child of God. If you are a believer in Christ, if you've confessed your sins and believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do, you are in Christ. You've been regenerated. Become that person now. How do you do that? By remembering what you've been taught. See, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a child of God, then Paul says that you are a new person. You are a new self. You have a new self, and you must cast off the old self. He says that you have been taught in Christ to put off your old self and to put on your new self. Have you seen what's going on around our community? You see it in the streets, you see it in the stores, you see it in college classrooms. It's happening every day. Have you seen it? People walking around in their jammies. Have you seen this? It's amazing. Somebody standing out, waiting for the bus in 25-degree weather, wearing their jammies. Now, I'm not judging. But to me, standing in a line in Walmart at 7 o'clock at night, and you're wearing your Hello Kitty jammies, it seems to me, might be time to change, right? Isn't that what we do, though? We wear the garments of our old life. We have been brought out of the darkness. We have been brought into the light, the daylight of being in Christ. And we wake up, take off the pajamas, and put on our street clothes and go out and do our work. Isn't that what we're called to do as Christians? That's what we're called to do. He says you have been taught to put off your old self. Now, this is a past tense verb. This is not an ongoing thing. So this is not something that, okay, you take off your old clothes and put on your new clothes, and then you put on your new clothes again, or old clothes again, and then take them off. You don't do this on a daily basis. This is not the same as taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. This is taking off your old clothes once and for all and putting on your new clothes for the rest of eternity. That's what it means. Look at some other ways that Paul describes this. Of the old self, putting off the old self. In Colossians 3:9 he says, "Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices." He says in Romans chapter 6, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." See, this is all past action. And we need to live in light of the fact that it is past action. Look at the new self, how he describes it. "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. The putting off is past action. The being renewed is present action. That's what's happening in our life right now. But the putting off is something that should have happened before. He says this in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." See, this is past action. You were taught to put off that old self and to put on the new self. Now, beyond the pastness of this, the new self of verse 24 should really be translated the new man, because it's exactly the same phrase as Paul uses in Ephesians 2:15. If you go back to there, Ephesians 2:15, he says, "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace." You have put on the new man. It signifies not merely a new individual person, but a new corporate person. See, you are to take off, or you should have taken off, your old individual self. And in Christ, you should have put on a new corporate self. Think about marriage. When you get married, the moment you get married, you take off your life of singleness. And you put on your life of marriage. You now put on two people that have become one. So that's what he's talking about. It's not simply my old single self now becoming new. It's my old single self being gone and my new corporate self now living. See, you are now a new corporate person. And that corporation, that is, that corporate self is the body of Christ. And you have put on this new man, this body of Christ. And that comes through the regeneration process. That when you are regenerated, when you're born again, the old self goes away and the new self is put on. But that regeneration process, that once and done, that conversion to Christ, is followed by a longer life-transforming process, which takes time. There's an immediate once-and-done change of circumstance, change of position. But now that takes time to work out. That's what he says, by renewing or being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Go back to the idea of being married. On August 3rd, 2002, I put off my old single self and I put on my new married self. Change of position, completely change of life, and yet it takes time not to think like a single person, right? Think about how many divorces come about because one or both parties either refuses or never really gets around to taking off their single self and putting on their new married self, right? So we need to think not like single, autonomous individuals, but think like the body of Christ. And that's putting off the old self and putting on the new self, making our decisions with reference to this new body that we are in. So in our life as Christ followers, let's renounce the person we were and become the person we are. First of all, by remembering what we have been taught in Christ through His example, through His atonement, through His Word, but also being renewed in our thinking and acting. See, this is what takes the time. Being renewed in our minds. He says, being renewed in the spirit of your minds. It's not merely the brute intellect, but it's in our minds that is in fusion with that spiritual dimension of life. And when there's a spiritual dimension, that dimension can only be carried out by God Himself. Paul says that here in verse 22, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, but he reiterates that in Romans 12. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed. And he doesn't merely want us to be conformed to the structures and the images and the lifestyles of this body. But in the spirit of our minds, in our spiritual life, in our intellectual life, to be transformed. It's the word morpho, you get the word metamorphosis, right? To change, like the caterpillar changes into the butterfly, you know? To undergo that change. We have to learn to think differently about everything. Thinking differently about our own lifestyle, our own life's priorities. But we also have to think beyond just taking care of me, right? Think about taking care of others. Expanding our thinking to take into consideration the body of Christ. And that's what Paul wants us to do. To renounce the person we were and to become the person we are. How? By being renewed in the spirit of our mind, to be transformed. And this is not just intellectual renewal. It's spiritual renewal. It's lifestyle renewal. It's hitting the streets and going to work renewal. How can we do that? Well, here are some basic observations. I'm sure there are a whole lot more, but let me give you some basic observations, some things that can help with this process. First thing is this: limit sinful influences. Sinful influences can draw us right back into that old life. And how often do we indulge in those things that seem very innocuous, seem very innocent, and yet they can lead us down a pathway of insensitivity to the Spirit's leading simply because it's a sinful influence. And you know what those things are. I don't need to have to go into detail. But limit those sinful influences. When you're raising a child, You limit those dangerous things, don't you? You put the locks on the doors and you put those little things on the handles so the kids can't open the door accidentally or through their meanderings around the house. You childproof the house. Have you ever tried to sin-proof your life? Now realize, we live in a sinful world. We have sin living inside us even. And we need to constantly confess. We need to constantly go back to Christ. But there are ways that we can limit those sinful influences by turning the channel, turning off the TV, turning off the computer, staying away from those places that we know are going to draw us right back in. Limit sinful influences. Secondly, pursue truth and pray for help. Pursue truth and pray for health. The tragedy of this age is that young people believe Hollywood more than they believe their parents. They'll believe their friends more than they'll believe their teachers. They'll believe the spirit of this age more than they'll believe what they're taught in Sunday school and church. We need to pursue truth. What is truth? Truth is to be found in God, because he's the author of truth. And you would do well to pursue anything that will get this book inside of you. Whether it's listening to a podcast on your way to work about a preacher or a Bible study or something like that, or going to a Bible study, having a study in your home, going to Sunday school, sitting right here. All of these things will allow you to pursue truth, but you have to pray for help. We can't do this on our own. You have to pray for help, because being renewed is passive, right? Being renewed in the spirit of your mind, it's passive. It's something that is done to us. And we can't renew ourselves. We need the Lord to renew us for us. And that brings us to number three. Remember, mind and spirit renewal is the Holy Spirit's work. It's the Holy Spirit's work. He is the Spirit with a capital S. So it's his job to renew the spirit with a lowercase s. Rely on the Holy Spirit to do this work. How does he do it? He does it through other Christians. He does it through God's word. He does it through prayer. He is not limited. Lastly, confess Christ and renounce sinful ways. Confess Christ and renounce sinful ways. Have you ever gone into your workplace and confessed Christ? That's awfully scary to do, isn't it? But you would be amazed at the Christians that come out of the woodwork when you do. I had that experience in college. I had that experience at work. People laugh at you, but one by one, the Christians start creeping up and start talking to you and asking questions, stuff like that. It happens. If you simply be willing to confess Christ and to renounce your sinful ways. You know, the idea of putting off and putting on has traditionally been associated with baptism. In fact, Paul talked about that baptism in Romans chapter 6, Romans 6 passage that we looked at. And it was particularly done in reference to standing before God and the congregation and renouncing the old life and claiming that you are now willing and desiring to walk in this new life. Now, we haven't really done this, at least since I've been here with baptisms. We really haven't done this, but there is a ritual that the church has used traditionally, which is sort of a question and answer ritual. I know when I went through it, when I was a kid in baptism, I had to answer these questions. Let me just share those questions with you and see how they work in your own mind. This is the minister asking a person who is coming for baptism. It's a believer in Jesus Christ. He says this: "Dost thou renounce the devil and all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world with all covetous desires of the same and the carnal desires of the flesh, so that thou wilt not be led by them?" Answer: I renounce them all. Question: Dost thou believe in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, in the Holy Ghost, and in the Church of God in general, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life after death? Answer, all this I steadfastly believe. Question, wilt thou be baptized in this faith? Answer, this is my desire. Question, wilt thou obediently keep God's holy commandment and walk in them daily? Answer, I will do so, God being my helper. See, this dialogue was something that allowed followers of Jesus Christ to publicly renounce the person they were and to publicly confess Christ and ask God for His grace in helping to become the person He has now made us to be. See, are you able to do that? Have you done that? Are you living this life as the new self? Or are you a new self wearing the old clothes of the old self? We're going to pray right now. I'm just going to ask you some questions to think about while we're praying. So if you go ahead and close your eyes and just bow in prayer, let me ask you to think about these things. Let's pray together. Let me ask you this. If you are still walking outside of Christ, will you believe in Him now? Will you now commit to living a new life in Christ by claiming Christ as your Lord and Savior and by appealing to God as your helper? If you've never actually renounced your unregenerate life, will you do so now, God being your helper? Let me ask you this. If you at one time have renounced your old life and yet you've slipped back, will you reaffirm to Christ your desire to walk in Him, relying on God's Spirit to give you strength and enablement? Just pray to Christ right now and confess that to Him. Let me ask you one final question. Will you purpose in your mind today to share your decision with someone? God, our Father, please help us to renounce our old sinful ways and help us to become the people You've created us to be. Father, we ask that You renew us in the spirit of our minds so that our minds and hearts can be controlled by the Spirit of Christ rather than by our own sinful natures. We pray this in the glorious and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.